Welcome to Now You Know. I'm Catherine Sussman. Today, I'm speaking with Julie Woodyer, Campaigns Director for ZooCheck Canada, on the subject of Canada's wild horses. Julie, it's so nice to have the opportunity to talk to you today on the subject of Canada's wild horses. There's something so whimsical and lovely about the idea of wild, free-roaming horses as part of Canada's national identity. Just the idea of open space, wilderness, nature. In preparation for talking to you, I was doing a bit of reading and I discovered that it's been almost 50 years since the U.S. Congress recognized that wild free-roaming horses are, and this is a quote, living symbols of the historic and pioneer spirit of the West. Do you think wild horses play a similar role in the Canadian national story?
I think that wild horses are extremely important to our culture and our history. You know that a lot of people don't know that all horses originally evolved in North America, and it was only later that they went extinct here. So they are a part of our natural landscape here, and they've certainly been a significant part of our history and our human culture. You know, they've been workhorses, they've been used a lot, but they also have evolved to live alongside of humans quite well. But the idea that there's no tolerance for wild horses, of course, is rather ridiculous, given how much the horses have done for us.
So if they are part of our national story, what's happening to them? What is the federal and what are the provincial governments doing to help protect them?
Well, in some places, they actually are protected. They're currently protected on Sable Island, which is probably the most whimsical group of horses that a lot of Canadians have heard of. They're protected in the Bronson Forest in Saskatchewan, and to a certain extent in the Chilcotin in British Columbia. But unfortunately, in Alberta, where the ranchers are very politically strong, they have zero tolerance for any competition for the grazing lands and want all of that land to feed their cattle. So essentially, the government is subsidizing the cattle industry and removing the horses in order to do that.
And is this actually, is there any legitimacy to those claims of overgrazing by the horses?
No, there's never been any evidence provided that the horses are doing any substantive damage to the rangelands. As I said, they evolved in those fescue grasslands, and so they belong in that sort of environment. The way the government justifies it is they've come up with this calculation where they say horses eat this much of the biomass and cattle eat this much of the biomass, so we calculate that horses are automatically responsible for this much damage as a percentage. But that's ridiculous for several reasons. I'm just going to give you one quick example. The way cattle eat grass, which is similar to what bison did historically in this country, is they grab the grass and they tear it out by the root. That means it's difficult for the grass to regrow and actually does cause some damage to the fescue grasslands. On the other hand, horses have used their teeth to chew off the blades of grass, so they don't actually damage the roots when they eat. So in fact, you cannot apply the same level of damage to the grassland to horses as you would to cattle. So this idea that they're just by percentage saying horses are doing that damage is ridiculous, and they know there's no evidence to support it.
And also, what numbers are we talking about? Because I thought the number of horses was just like ridiculously low compared to cattle.
Yes, it's minuscule. There's about 2,000 horses in all of Alberta. Historically, there was as many as 20,000 that we know of, and the grassland supported that number. And we also know that the IUCN, the equine specialist group, says that a minimum of 2,000 horses per area is important for a strong genetic population so that they won't go extinct. We've got only 2,000 in all of Alberta. So we should probably have more like 20,000 as a bare minimum number to ensure that those animals are genetically strong enough to survive and remain wild in Canada.
So is part of the argument for eradicating these horses that they're not a native species, that they're like escaped domestic horses, or what is the controversy surrounding?
The government doesn't want to acknowledge the horses as native wildlife. They call them feral. So as you mentioned, they say that these are just escaped from historic logging camps and so on. The truth is, we believe that horses were reintroduced. They had gone extinct in North America, and they were reintroduced when the Spanish brought them in, and gradually First Nations folks dispersed the horses throughout the United States and ultimately back up into Canada. So essentially, they are a reintroduced species here, but they certainly belong in our ecosystem. But the government in Alberta has used this concept that these are feral horses in order to essentially market them as pests and to get the people to accept the idea that they're going to cull them and, or remove them in any way possible. And so what we are focused on doing is rebranding the horses back to what they actually are, and that is native wildlife who belong in the ecosystem.
So currently, I think I read that they're under the authority of the Alberta Stray Animals Act. Is that correct?
That is correct, because they're treated as feral strays rather than acknowledged as native wildlife that's been reintroduced.
So can you just tell me a bit about the history of your role and what you have been doing with ZooCheck to try to help this situation?
Sure. Well, our involvement with wild horses goes back quite a while ago when there was a group of wild horses that was rounded up on an Air Force base in Alberta. And we were taking that case to court to challenge the science on it. But before we could get into a courtroom, the government quickly moved, rounded up all the horses within a couple of days and killed them. And that was a big shock at Suffield Air Force Base.
How many horses are we talking about in that case?
I'm sorry, I can't remember the numbers. It wasn't as large a group as we're talking about now in all of Alberta. But the interesting thing about that case was they said that the horses were causing damage to essentially sand dune areas. And ironically, after they removed the horses, other ungulate species moved in there that caused greater damage, and ultimately now they've opened up hunting in those areas now to remove those ungulate. The truth is, in nature, when you create a void in an ecosystem, some other species will fill that void. That's the reality of anything. So anytime you're involved in some kind of a culling program, it almost has to go on forever. And because you cannot actually manage nature, it's truly not possible. Mm-hmm. They think they are, but it's not working.
So ZooCheck's role, so you began trying to help that group of horses that were then sadly slaughtered, I guess.
Right, yes. So there are several people in Alberta that have been fighting on behalf of the horses, a number of smaller groups. Some have bought into the government's idea that the horses need to be removed. And so they're helping by way of setting up adoption programs and other things. Our role as ZooCheck, we felt, is to clarify the science, to make it clear that these animals actually not only belong in the ecosystem naturally, but are essential for a healthy ecosystem because they have evolved here originally. And so we felt that our best role would be to challenge the government's assertion that they are overpopulated or are causing damage. And so we went to the government and we said, okay, show us some evidence, anything. And they failed to be able to do that. So we engaged biology experts to look at all of the various arguments that the government had been using and essentially dispel the myths and get down to the honest truth about it all. I will say that that worked extremely well. For the last 4 years, there has been no culling of wild horses in Alberta. This is an issue we would certainly be happy to go to court with, you know, because they've failed to provide any evidence. But the horses remain at risk, and in particular because there's an election pending now in Alberta just in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And by all accounts, it looks as if the PC government may end up being reelected in Alberta. And certainly we know that the PC government historically has always sided with the ranchers, generally with industry. So
the horses that we have in the other provinces, so in BC, Saskatchewan, and Nova Scotia, are those the only other provinces with wild horse populations? Are those horses more protected?
So the Bronson Forest Group, there's actually an act in, there's a piece of legislation in Saskatchewan that protects those animals. The Sable Island horses are currently protected under a policy for that particular island. So that a policy is weaker, of course, than legislation.
Okay.
Although legislation is always risky too. BC it's a little bit different because there's been some First Nation groups who have stepped up and taken responsibility for the horses, and that has allowed for their protection. But what is very unique about the Alberta wild horses as compared to any other group in Canada is they are the only ones that you or I can go out to Alberta and just drive up into the logging areas on the logging roads and be able to see them from the road. So any Canadian can go and see our wild horses in Alberta, and it's the only population of animals where you can reliably do that.
So they reside in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains?
Yes, primarily in the foothills. There's certainly some smaller populations up in the northern areas that are not as easy to get to, but there are lots of wild horses in areas that are easily accessible by the general public if you have a vehicle. So the truth is this population of animals is a perfect opportunity for ecotourism. There's no harm to the horses in being out there watching them. They're not troubled by that. I've personally been out viewing them myself, and I've never seen any indication of distress in the animals by people watching them. So this is an excellent opportunity for Alberta to become very progressive in this regard and set up proper protections for the animals and opportunities for Canadians and people visiting Canada to see part of not only our natural history, but our cultural history as well.
Absolutely. This is definitely on my list now for ecotourism activities. It sounds incredibly beautiful.
Yes, it's magnificent. You must see them.
And what is the First Nations perspective then? Is there any way to, have you been engaging with First Nations populations in Alberta for these particular horses?
Yes, we've certainly reached out to them. We've had some minor successes in that regard. To a small extent, some of the First Nation folks in Alberta still utilize wild horses. From time to time, they'll capture them and tame them and work with those animals. But relative to the culling that goes on at the government level, that's extremely small. Mm-hmm. In any event, there's an elder with the Stoney Nation by the name of Sykes Powderface who has publicly said that the horses are important to them, both culturally and spiritually as well. And that he has certainly, at least he and his daughter, have both engaged in this discussion in a proactive way. And we intend to continue to have those discussions to see if we can find a way for First Nations to become more involved with the wild horse population. Currently, the government in Alberta is not even consulting with First Nations their historical knowledge of the species, which, you know, is really regressive in Canada. In British Columbia, one of the first things the government did was went and talked to First Nations people because they knew that they were the ones that had reintroduced the horses.
Mm-hmm. What can the public do to help protect Alberta's wild horses?
Certainly the public should be contacting the Premier and members of Parliament across Alberta, making them aware of their views on wild horses and engaging wherever possible Ministry of Tourism to start up proper ecotourism opportunities in Alberta in order to both protect this natural resource, but also to allow Canadians and visitors to Canada to enjoy it.
Is there anything the federal government can do?
Well, ultimately, what should really happen in this country is that wild horses should receive federal protection right across this country. So we're not having a patchwork of laws, you know, one in the Bronson Forest for the Saskatchewan group and one out on Sable Island that's currently just a policy and not even legislation, and then relying on another group of people, not even within government, to protect the BC horses. That results in what we describe as a patchwork approach that is inconsistent and, frankly, could end up leading to the extinction of the horses in the long run. So the best possible plan would be for the federal government to set up some protections for wild horses in this country, similar to what had been done in the United States. Although I'll caution people that the U.S. laws have actually been watered down over the years and now provide less protection for the horses than they were meant to when they were drafted. So if we are going to do something in Canada, we want something meaningful that will actually provide proper protection for these animals and acknowledge them as important both culturally and to our biodiversity.
So if somebody is listening to our talk today and they're not in the province of Alberta, do you still recommend that they write to the Alberta government, or do you think that they should go to their own local MP? If somebody's inspired, it's interesting because born and raised in Toronto and just hearing about wild horses, I think myself and a lot of people I know didn't even really realize we had wild horses in Canada.
I know. So, I know. It's true, right?
And we're so disconnected from nature in the West, in this part of the country. But if somebody's inspired to help that's not in that province, what steps should we take?
Well, we can certainly do two things. One is to encourage, it's certainly fine to encourage Alberta from outside Alberta to, you know, not harm the horses and do whatever they can to protect them, because it is a tourism opportunity. And we are the people who would be traveling to Alberta and spending money in Alberta in order to see this natural resource that we have.
True.
But secondly, they certainly should be writing to the Prime Minister and their own Member of Parliament saying that wild horses are not protected federally, and that is a fundamental problem, and that the federal government should be taking every initiative to ensure that wild horses are protected right across the country.
Julie, always so great to learn from you and speak to you about animal issues. Thank you so much for informing everyone today about this.
Thanks so much.